the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This famous passage from the end of the book of Joshua is so well known it's almost cliche. Choose for yourselves which gods you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I grew up seeing it printed on plaques over the doorways in people's houses, stitched into throw pillows on couches, and on all sorts of other items picked up from the local Christian bookstore. It was so commonplace, I became inoculated against its real demand on our lives. But in its context, it was not cliche at all. It wasn't an easy or obvious choice, and Joshua was laying down the proverbial gauntlet for the Israelites. They had finally made it to the land that God had promised them, but it was filled with temptations to abandon trust and the God who had been so faithful to them. There would be moments of fear where it would be easy to turn away in doubt. Moments of jealousy and attraction to all the things that their more established neighbors had, and wondering whether following their gods might be more lucrative. And simple moments of complacency when not doing the hard work of following any god might be the most attractive option of all. It was in the face of this reality that Joshua knew he had to have people make a conscious choice, draw a line in the sand, because being faithful in the world is difficult work. This is really no different from the world in which we live, where it's so easy to be drawn away from faithfulness to the God we have been taught about in Jesus Christ. In a world that is falling into disarray and a society that seems to be coming apart at all the connective points of our cultural fabric, it's hard to believe in a God who is steadfastly working good through all things. In a world that finds security in the accumulation of money, or a culture that wants to believe safety is the product of the presence of firearms, it's difficult to put trust in God alone for our sense of sanctuary and providence. Amidst lives that are beset with all types of fear, from disease to the disintegration of families to the threat of uselessness and obsolescence, it's a struggle to choose to believe in a God who is restoring and reconciling all things unto God's self. The point being, it's no less important for us today to draw the line, to plant our flag and actively choose to be faithful to the God who has been faithful to us for so long. We are surrounded by just as many idols and temptations in our land as the Israelites were in theirs, and we too must choose. But it's not enough to simply choose for yourself. We must choose who we will be together, and what sort of example will be with our shared life in this community. That was true for Joshua too. He was trying to get the people to unite around a shared vision of God, because as they entered Canaan, they needed to be a beacon of God's light to the surrounding culture who had turned to many worthless idols. He was trying to remind them of their shared story and pull them together, so that they would choose to be a profound witness to a new way of living. Recently, in an adult forum, we watched a video from the writer Brené Brown, in which she was talking about the church and what kind of witness it must choose to be in the world. In it, she said rather directly that the church can be a place of healing or hurting, but there is no middle ground, no third option. We either actively point people toward God, toward grace and forgiveness, toward community and acceptance, toward reconciliation and restoring what was once thought lost, or we perpetuate the hurting that they experience so many other places in the world. This is a decision that every member of a church has to make for themselves and their own role. But ultimately, it's a decision that a church as a whole makes. What sort of God it will testify to by its actions. And then people can choose to be part of that community or not. The gospel parable today teaches us something about how we show our faithfulness as a community and prepare for the coming of Christ. I'll admit, it's a confusing parable. But here are a couple of points that bring it into focus. The bridegroom was incredibly late. It wasn't their fault that they ran out of oil. It was their fault, however, that they left because they knew where the celebration was and they knew they were not likely to find what they were looking for outside the walls at midnight. They asked the other bridesmaids to give them oil so that they wouldn't look unprepared. And while there may not have been enough oil for all the lamps, there surely would have been enough light for all of them. Every person doesn't have to have their own lamp to produce enough light to share. What if they were foolish because they left and not because they didn't have spare oil? What would have happened if they had just waited? There still would have been plenty of light, and they all would have been present for the feast. What if this parable is really trying to teach us something about how to be in community? That we care for one another rather than assuming everyone has to care for themselves. That we share what we have so that there's enough to go around and never leave the feast. What if this story is about choosing to believe that God will accept us as we are, and not because we've done everything just right? What if, to put this in the lens of our first reading, this is about choosing what type of community we're going to be, and what sort of God we believe will meet us when He arrives? You get to choose for yourself. But I'm going to lay out what we're going to choose here in this community. In a culture of constant fighting over everything, we choose to have communion at the center of our lives as our singular example of how to live. Choose for yourselves how you'll live your life. But here we choose to pass the peace with one another and share a common meal around a single table as our chief act of worship. Here we will choose to actively put aside gossip and blame and infighting to follow the God of community, and that will be our witness. You can choose to give up hope and fresh starts and new beginnings, in reconciliation and in resurrection of all types. But here we choose to believe there is new life after death. We will choose to believe that there can be healing after brokenness and restoration after devastation. We will hold out hope again and again for the addict that recovery will take root this time. We will celebrate when new love is manifest after the death of a previous relationship from divorce. We will strive toward reconciliation after every fight that threatens to pull us apart, because it helps us to encounter grace again. We will find our security in the story of God's promised resurrection and not in the familiarity of a building or the constancy of programs or the sameness of how things have always been. You can choose how you will look at other people and judge them in your hearts. We choose to value people for more than their demographics, or their occupations, or even their contribution to our community. We will value them based on the fact that they are bearers of the image of God, and that without any person, the fullness of that image is less complete, less perfect among us. Because we believe that God became fully human, we will choose to strive for diversity of all kinds, and refuse to categorically cut anyone from our life. we choose to celebrate the LGBTQ community and what their marriages teach us about faithfulness through adversity and what their lives teach us about authenticity in the face of hardship. Here, we will choose to share our light and really our whole lives with one another. We are not self-sufficient, and we won't even pretend to hold that as a value. Bring what you have, even if it's your lacking, your neediness, because that gives us a chance to be the community we have promised to be and to demonstrate the God that we follow. We will believe that there is enough, that God is sufficient, and that our faithfulness is the greatest gift we have. There are too many idols and distractions to avoid on our own, but if we choose to share life, we might be faithful together. It appears that just like in the gospel story, the bridegroom has been delayed for a long time. But we believe that Jesus Christ comes when Christian people live in hope and never give up. When the faithful disciples express compassion and work for justice. When fear gives way to the belief that there is safety in this place of love. And when the meal is set and all are invited to the table. You can choose for yourself this day whether that vision is for you or not. But here, that's what we believe. And in this place, we will always follow that God. Amen.